For most high school grads, leaving home for college or to join the world of work can be quite daunting. But add to that a chronic disease, and the picture can get just a bit more challenging. Joining me in the studio this morning to discuss some of the issues and challenges for these kids is Dr. Irene Sills, professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University with a specialty in pediatric endocrinology. Welcome, Dr. Sills.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Pleasure.
First, I'd like to point out how lucky we are here in Central New York to have a board-certified pediatric endocrinologist on staff at Upstate.
Well, we have, actually, I'm one of four, so we are very lucky.
That is amazing. That really is. Mm-hmm. We are very fortunate. And I think you work in conjunction with the Joslin Center.
Yes, our offices are at the Joslin Diabetes Center. It's they're at on East Genesee Street across from Nottingham High School.
Did you recently move there?
Yes, we moved, well, recently, 3.5 years ago,
oh.
Joslin did move there. But the clinic has been established here at Upstate for about 15 years.
And it's an affiliate of the one that's in Boston that's very well known.
Exactly, exactly.
So what do you do at the Joslin Center?
Well, I see children with diabetes and other endocrine disorders. Pediatrics extends to age 21.
Wow.
Which is not something people always appreciate. But part of it is to get our patients through the college years without having them need to switch doctors.
You know, it's interesting. I understand that Upstate Medical University has a particular interest in treating adolescents and young adults. Again, something many people in our community aren't aware of.
Yes.
It's a challenging population and one in great need, I think.
Very much in great need of understanding and tender, loving care. And it's a challenging time for the patients, too.
Absolutely. Help us understand the kinds of patients that you generally see in your practice.
Well, I would say in my practice, about 50% of my patients have diabetes, and most of those kids have type 1 diabetes, insulin-dependent diabetes.
So they get that from birth?
They inherit the genes that make them susceptible to diabetes, but something else has to happen, and we don't know what that is. So they can acquire diabetes anywhere from birth all the way up to age 21.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. The other 50% of my practice are seeing kids with other endocrine disorders. So that could be kids with thyroid problems, with problems in going through puberty, either too late, too early, kids with growth problems, kids who are failing to gain those important 2 inches a year, calcium problems. We see kids with osteoporosis. Quite a wide variety of different concerns.
Well, we know that having an adolescent go off to college or even to the world of work or a job with a chronic disease like type 1 diabetes, it's got to be really scary for both the parents and the kids.
Absolutely.
But I think it's probably true for any chronic disease, whether you have asthma or Crohn's disease or even celiac, that gluten allergy. But they seem to me that they all have one thing in common, that the patient must eventually become able to manage their own disease.
Right. They have to assume responsibility for a lot of the things that their parents have been doing for them. And that's quite frightening to parents and I think equally frightening to the patients.
But it can't start the week before they go off to college,
that
right?
That is the best statement you can make about this whole process, is that it really has to start at age 12 when kids come in and start to provide their own histories, are familiar with their medications, all the way up to the end point where they can phone for their medications, know when they're running low on their supplies, short of the day before they run low. Yes, so that's it's a transition. It starts much, much before they actually get in the car and drive away.
In some ways, that's really not unlike development in general.
Yes.
You would hope, as a parent, that you begin to help your children become increasingly independent as they grow and are able to take on more and more responsibility for their own self-care.
That's exactly the point. You understand it perfectly, that it's just like raising a child. You want a child to be able to use the phone in an emergency, know what 911 means. You want a child to be able to get on a bus at some point, be able to get skills that are age appropriate, and practice those skills with you while the child is still with you, so that by the time they leave, you know, you feel secure that they can do those things.
I think they have a particularly challenging, children with chronic diseases or young adults with chronic diseases, though, have a particularly difficult set of expectations in that they really probably have to learn how to access the health system in ways that children who don't have that problem don't
right.
have to do.
Exactly. I mean, especially for kids with diabetes, this is a 24/7 care disease. These kids are checking their blood sugars 4 to 6 times a day. They're taking insulin by injection or pumps. They're counting carbohydrates. There's never a moment when they can forget that they have diabetes. So it's almost like a life course. So whatever courses they choose at college, they've got a fifth and a sixth course called taking care of their diabetes. So it's quite burdensome.
Right. I would think that's true more so for diabetes, but it can also be true for other chronic diseases.
Absolutely.
Just what they can eat, what they can't eat. And in a sense, it kind of, I won't say robs them of childhood, but it makes them be very responsible very young.
I think kids with diabetes grow up quickly.
Yeah. I read somewhere that you even encourage kids to be able to monitor their own blood sugar by the age of 5 or 6.
Well, kids can do a blood sugar test on them, stick their finger with a lancet and get a number, and by the time they're 6 or 7, they begin to understand what that number means.
It's amazing.
It is. So it's a whole realm of existence that most kids have no concept of, and we wish these kids didn't have to cope with these things either.
But there are some wonderful benefits to being that mature at an early age as well. Dr. Irene Sills, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break, and we'll continue this discussion, which is highly important and critical. And stay with us. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with Dr. Irene Sills, professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University with a specialty in pediatric endocrinology. Dr. Sills, as a pediatric endocrinologist, you see quite close up kids with chronic diseases that need to get in control of their disease very early. Tell us more about that whole concept. That's what we left off at the break with.
Well, it's pretty clear that when a child of 3 years of age is diagnosed, they have very little input into their care, very few responsibilities. And you have to see that three-year-old child leaving home at age 18, fully prepared to take care of their diabetes, make decisions about insulin dosing, about food, about carbohydrate counting, and somehow you have to get from step one to, I don't know, step 18. And that's our purpose. That's what we need to do as pediatricians.
So you work with parents very early in when you start to see a child with diabetes. You work with them and help them to understand that it's as important in their role as a parent to help their child become increasingly independent
right.
in their care, in their own care?
Yes, we do that at visits. When a child is able to, they start to provide their own history. They're the one who's sitting closest to my table, and I'm focusing my questions at them. I tell them they can phone a friend if they don't have the answer, but I would like them to at least think about it and see whether they can remember what they may or may not have learned.
Generally, how do kids respond to that kind of attention?
Most kids love it.
Do they?
This is their appointment. I'm their doctor. And they feel very proud of themselves when they can answer the questions and give all of us a sense that they're learning.
It's really wonderful. Tell me, when kids are ready to make a choice to go off to college, though, in this case, let's talk about college, does the choice of school play a role? I mean, is there something about where they go to school that must be considered when they're thinking about it?
I like to take the stand that a child with diabetes can go to college wherever they want to go to college if they've made the proper preparations, if they've asked the proper questions. I think that you should live your dreams and do what you want to do within your family's economic possibilities or within the reality of choosing a college, but it should not be limited because you have diabetes.
Do you think the distance, though, makes a difference? For example, if I were a parent of a child with diabetes, Might I be more nervous about sending them all the way across the country?
I think you're going to be nervous about sending them an hour away. Sure, very few kids actually go across the country. I mean, I think probably that's true of most kids going to college from New York State. They're not going that far, and kids' sites aren't that far. So, I think I would be much more nervous about that. But even that can be accomplished if you make the right plans.
How about things like the availability of health care in a particular college setting?
Well, that's what you have to ask. Some larger colleges have health centers right on campus. They're open 24/7, and it's not a problem. Other smaller schools have nothing like that. So you have to ask about where the local emergency room is or the local urgent care. You may not like the answer you get, and that may not encourage you to go to a particular college.
So those factors really do play a role.
They are reality, but it's unlikely that a college will have no urgent facilities for their college students. So it's a matter of understanding what they are, what they provide, and what you might need to seek further help with.
How about issues of health insurance in terms of the kids?
Most kids will get health insurance through their schools or now can be covered on their parents' health insurance. Mm-hmm. And that's an enormous problem for kids between the ages of 18 and until they get that job that has health insurance. Luckily, healthcare reform has extended the time that kids can stay on their parents' health insurance. And that's just a blessing for all of us.
Mm. What specific skills do you try to encourage kids to develop before they go off to college?
Well, I think a child or a young adult needs to know their health history. Typically, parents are the ones who know the birth history, exactly when the kid's tubes were put in their ears. Now, that may not be a crucial question, but I think it's important to know whether you've had anesthesia, to know what your immunization status is. And I think it's a nice idea to have a notebook that records your health history, something that you keep and you bring with you to college. And if you do need to go to an emergency room, especially if you're very ill and can't speak so well for yourself, you have a written information that can be provided to the doctors and nurses looking after you.
I've seen a number of senior citizens have these medication cards, mm-hmm. where they have a listing of their dose and how often they have to take it. Would that be true for a child with a chronic disease as well? Or would that be a helpful thing to carry?
I think it'd be helpful, but I, as a doctor taking care of these kids, would like even more information. So some sort of medical history record, I think, is important.
And how do you get that? So are you suggesting that information should be forwarded, obviously, to the school in advance, but the student themselves should really have it?
I think they need to have something in. Every kid with diabetes going to college needs to have a sick day bag. A bag with a thermometer, with water, with some kind of Coca-Cola that has sugar, if that's what's needed, the testing strips. They need to have special food that their roommates understand is not food that ever gets shared. And I think putting a book and some kind of notebook in that sick day bag to bring with them should they need to access health care in an emergency, that would be my idea.
Speaking about emergencies, though, they should also, it seems to me, know where and how to contact emergency services,
exactly.
should they need them.
That's kind of what I mean about planning. You have to know, many college health centers provide orthopedic care, contraception, and mental health care. That's their forte. And if they're not going to provide more of the type of care that kids with diabetes need, then they need to know where they can get it. My advice is to hope for the best, but to plan for the worst.
So when you say the kind of care that a child with diabetes might need, can you say more of what you're thinking?
It's possible for a child to become very ill, not be getting enough insulin to keep them healthy. They can start vomiting, get dehydrated, and need to have intravenous fluid.
So they need to be able to go to an emergency room that is set up to handle that kind of a
right,
crisis.
Right.
Right.
A hypoglycemic crisis, is that what it's called?
That's the opposite end.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
That's diabetic ketoacidosis. Mm-hmm. Now, we teach kids how to prevent diabetic ketoacidosis, and most kids are good at doing that. They know when to check their urine for ketones and how to keep themselves out of the hospital. Unfortunately, college kids sometimes drink too much. And kids who are drinking more than they should be drinking don't have good judgment and don't always know what's happening and are at higher risk for these kinds of problems.
Well, that's true probably for, you know, all kids going off to college. Right. As we know, alcohol is is epidemic, mm-hmm. and there are all kinds of issues surrounding that, mm-hmm. poor behavioral choices, you know, poor judgment and all of that. Do you think kids with diabetes have more of an issue? Does it affect their diabetes?
Yes, they can get sicker faster. And vomiting for a child with diabetes will lead to dehydration sooner. And kids with diabetes have to have a sense of where their blood sugar is. If their blood sugar is too high, too low, they have to be able to test it and see the number and interpret the number to keep themselves safe. And all that gets clouded with alcohol and drugs. It's not just alcohol.
Right. Anything that affects your decision-making or your rational decision-making.
Now, the opposite end, the low blood sugar problem, is also the other worry that parents have, that a child will go into a low blood sugar coma. And parents and kids have to prepare for that. I think kids with diabetes who go to college need a roommate. This is, especially in the first year or two, this is not a good time to be in a single. You need someone who is going to recognize that you may not have gotten up in the morning at the time you should, or if you're making funny noises while you're sleeping, and know how to help you in that event.
I think that's a really critical point, and something that I think perhaps the instinct would be not to have a roommate because of all kinds of other issues, but it sounds like you need someone there.
Kids with diabetes need buddies. Early on, they're your parents. Later on, they're your peers.
Well, hold that thought, because we're going to take a short break and then continue this very interesting, provocative discussion about kids with chronic diseases, specifically diabetes here, when we come back. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.